This is a People First Radio podcast.
A nurse and UVic PhD student is working to bring more understanding to the intersection between chronic pain and sexual health. Janice Finley lives with chronic pain and has also worked as a nurse in sexual health clinics. She says the places people can go in the healthcare system for help with chronic pain tend not to be well equipped to help with concerns related to sexuality. Meanwhile, sexual health clinics tend to be focused on things like STIs, harm reduction, and contraception, and not necessarily sexuality concerns related to chronic pain. Finley is planning to speak with people of reproductive age with chronic pain to better understand their experience of sexuality. I reached her in Calgary to talk about her research.
I'm Janice Finley. I'm a registered nurse and advanced practice nurse. I'm currently doing my PhD through the University of Victoria. Most of my work involves sexual health. So right now, my research is around chronic pain and sexuality, and I've worked as a sexual health nurse since 2014, and I did my undergraduate degree at VIU, Vancouver Island University. So I'm currently located in Calgary, but have strong ties to the island.
And what has got you looking at chronic pain and intimacy in this PhD?
Mm-hmm. I actually always knew that I wanted to research or be involved in sexual health somehow. Like, I knew in my undergrad at VIU that I was just really excited about sexual health for some reason. It just got me excited and sparked. And I was like, this is something that people don't talk about, and it's really important. And so any project I could do in my undergraduate degree, I would choose something related to sexual health. So it kind of started there. And then I became a sexual health nurse. And then in the last, I would say, so I did my master's degree from 2020 to 2022. And that's where I kind of shifted my focus to chronic pain as well, because I live with chronic pain. And that's been something that I've had since I was about 13. So since 2006.
And can you walk me through what exactly are you, what's a question you're trying to answer?
Yeah, my research. So my methodology, sorry for the big word, is a narrative inquiry. So I'm really looking at understanding people's stories and experiences. And what I want to understand is how chronic pain affects sexuality and identity in people that live with chronic pain. I'm looking at people of reproductive age that are accessing sexual reproductive health care. And then I'm also trying to understand how their partners, their intimate partners, sexual partners, romantic partners, whatever you want to call them, how they experience being with someone that lives with chronic pain or a disability, and then also their experiences accessing healthcare.
And you're coming at this kind of with the dual background of having worked a bit in the healthcare field and also the background of having been in the healthcare field, having spent a long time without getting an accurate diagnosis. Could you talk to me about maybe the intersection of those two parts of your story and how they kind of interact with this work?
Yeah, I do think I have a unique perspective in my work because I have lived experience of chronic pain and disability. And then I'm also a nurse and have worked with people that have chronic pain, disability in sexual health spaces. So I do find that that's quite a unique perspective. For me, like what I noticed when I was working in sexual health, I started initially in mostly women's health clinics, and I found that women would come to me and share stories with me about their disabilities or chronic pain. And they would say, hey, I've never had anyone tell you that before. Like, I've never told anyone that before. Thank you for making this a safe space. And I was like, oh, okay, there's something going on here where like the chronic pain piece, the disability piece isn't being addressed in sexual health clinics. And then at the same time in chronic pain clinics, the sexuality piece isn't very well addressed either. So there's kind of like, I describe it as, my research interests are kind of like two buckets. We've got the sexual health bit, and then we have the disability bit. And when you look at the healthcare system, neither are really working together. So it's like, where would you go? Because you can go to a sexual health clinic and be like, yeah, I have this disability or this chronic pain. And unfortunately, sexual health clinics, they're great, don't get me wrong, are very much focused on harm reduction, STIs, avoiding pregnancy, but not necessarily sexuality. And then the chronic pain clinics, which are a little bit more focused on identity and your well-being and who you are as a person and how you're living with all of it, aren't super well equipped to address the sexuality piece. So it's like, where do you go if you're someone that has chronic pain and issues with sexuality? Yeah, that's kind of where I came from. Yeah.
Could you give me a sense of what are some of the things a person might be seeking support for from the medical system, and what are some of the kind of things that the medical system could and maybe right now is not doing for folks?
Mm-hmm. I can speak to maybe more of an Alberta perspective, but I'm a student in BC, so I know a little bit. I would say it's really looking at the whole person. I'm finding things are very compartmentalized. And in my personal experience living with a disability, I see a lot of different specialists, but there isn't a lot of coordination between all of them in terms of like, this is a person, this is her identity, these are the things we need to know. It's more like, hey, you have this issue, we'll deal with this. And then you see someone else and it's like, okay, there's this issue, we'll deal with this. So it's very compartmentalized. I would love to see chronic pain clinics address sexuality better. I think that would be a good strategy in terms of like, it's kind of like what we see in the literature a lot of the time. And also if you look at the research around pain centers and healthcare, sexuality and sex is kind of put to the side. It's kind of like, well, you don't need that to survive, so we're not going to address it. So it's very much a survival kind of strategy where it's like, okay, we can deal with your pain, but then you want to talk about sex. I don't know. People don't know how to talk about it. They don't, because we don't. We just don't.
That makes a lot of sense. And you're talking about, I imagine, just generally people don't know how to talk about sex. You mentioned that off the top, like forgetting the chronic pain piece.
A lot of the time I don't even, I've shifted now, but years ago, I wouldn't even tell people what I actually did for work. I would say, yeah, I work in public health instead of sexual health because it's so stigmatized.
Could you talk to me a little bit about like what that stigma looks like and what that means, what the consequences are?
I would say it makes people uncomfortable to talk about sex. And now I'm at a point in my career where I'm like, I'm going to make people talk about sex because it doesn't make me uncomfortable. And this is very important because like sexuality is part of being human, whether you choose to have sex or not, it doesn't matter, but it's still part of being human and it's part of identity, but it's this one piece of our lives that somehow is just taboo to talk about still, which surprises me. But again, I've been working in sexual health for a very long time. So I can visibly see that people get uncomfortable when I bring up sex. So I do it on purpose because I'm like, well, we need to fix this in society.
Now, you're doing this research, you're looking for people's narrative stories around chronic pain and intimacy. Do you have like a hypothesis here? Are there things you're expecting to hear from folks?
So I'm coming to this research with what I think I will learn and what my findings will be, but I'm also don't want to go into it with a bias that this is what I know from my previous research and reading literature and hearing other people's stories. And so therefore it's going to be X, Y, Z. And the methodology that I use is fairly broad. So I go in with kind of a hypothesis, but at the same time, it's very much like fluid and I'm focused on what's important to my participants in the research. So, and actually one thing that I thought I would have is primarily female participants, but I actually have had male participants as well, which is a really interesting perspective. So what I'm expecting to see is kind of what we've talked about already a little bit in terms of like people aren't really sure where to go to talk about their issues around sex because it's not seen as something that's essential to health, even though the World Health Organization does recognize it as essential to being human, basically. Like, it's considered a basic need if you decide to engage in sex. But it's kind of the thing that gets left out, I find, a lot of the time when you look at the theory around social determinants of health, social dimensions of health. Yeah. So I don't have a hypothesis. I have what we call a research puzzle, which is, I'm not going to get too theoretical here, but my research methodology starts broad, and then you shape the research based on what your participants tell you is important to them. But essentially, I am wanting to know, how does chronic pain, generalized chronic pain, affect identity around sexuality?
And once you have all of those conversations and you go away and you compile it, what happens to the research and the information that you've collected? How does it impact and make a change in the world?
Yeah. So for me, it's really important for any research I do to be very accessible to the people that might have an interest in it. So healthcare providers, people that live with chronic pain, of course, researchers and academics as well. So, I mean, the typical route is I'll write my PhD thesis, get a PhD, become Dr. Janice Finlay, all the things, and publish some papers. But more importantly, what I want to do is write different papers or articles that are really accessible to people that want to read it. And then I also plan to make a document, like a very short documentary film, using paid actors to kind of voice some of what the participants are saying and what's important that I think people in the public, people that live with chronic pain, and people that work in healthcare need to know.
You're listening to People First Radio. My guest is nurse and UVic PhD student, Janice Finlay. We're talking about her research exploring how people experience and navigate chronic pain, disability, and sexuality. So really, is it a fair takeaway that a big thing coming out of this is you're going to talk to a lot of people? We might have a vague sense right now that, like, hey, there are some issues around chronic pain and intimacy. Maybe there's not a good place to go to, or maybe there's not a lot of support out there. But we don't really know exactly what people are going to say. The goal of the research is to talk to people who are experiencing chronic pain, hear how it impacts their identity and how they move through the world. And then you can identify some concerns there. You can share them with people who maybe are in the world of healthcare and then work to address them from there.
Yeah, that's a great summary. I will also be working hopefully with like a patient advisory committee and with other healthcare providers to come up with some recommendations around, okay, if you see somebody in the clinic that says, I have this diagnosis that is related to chronic pain, maybe there's an algorithm, like what are some of the educational things that you need to address? But I would say this is an under-researched area and healthcare providers want to help, but they don't necessarily know how or have the capacity or the time to work with patients that have chronic pain with sexual health issues. A lot of what we see in the research and literature is if someone has chronic pain and then you're also looking at sex and sexuality, it's very much focused on either people that have specifically pain with sex, like sexual health disorders, or it's focused on like male functioning, but not necessarily the overarching issue of you live with generalized chronic pain, you have this disability. And then a lot of what I talk about, I won't get too theoretical, is like the disability hierarchy, where like we're kind of like, okay, so a lot of the research is around, if we're looking at sex and pain, it's around people that have cancer, it's around erectile dysfunction, and then also specifically pain with sex, so like more localized issues, but not so much identity and relationships and intimacy.
Can you explain what that means, identity, relationships, intimacy in this context?
Absolutely. So one resource I really like is called the Sexuality Wheel, and that was developed by Teaching Sexual Health in Alberta. And when you look at what sexuality means, and so here's one thing that I come across, I'll back up a little bit, is when I talk about sex and sexuality, people think they mean the same thing, but sex is more the physical act, and then sexuality is the identity piece. So like, who are you in your sexuality? Is it important to you to engage in sex, to have intimacy, all of those things? Who do you want to have sex with? How much sex do you want to have? See, these are things we don't talk about in society because it's still taboo. But one resource I really like is the Sexuality Wheel. And so when you look at identity, what influences somebody's sexuality are not just your sexual orientation, although that's one piece, but also what are your values? What's important to you in a relationship? What's your personality? What's your gender identity? What's your gender expression? How do you communicate? What's your, again, sexual orientation? What's your self-image? What have your previous experiences been? And so all of those things influence somebody's identity around sexuality. So one thing we see a lot with chronic pain and disability is kind of that body image and self-image piece.
Could you walk me through what advice you might give someone on how to navigate various concerns they may have around chronic pain and intimacy in the healthcare system as it is right now? And obviously, I imagine this is going to depend on, like, what is the concern?
Yeah, I would say be open as possible about it. Like, be bold. Don't be afraid to express your concerns. Because what I see in my nursing practice is people are very shy and afraid to say, hey, this is an issue that I'm experiencing. What do I do about it? The more we talk about it, the more patients or healthcare providers talk about it, the more we can get comfortable talking about these things. And then being like, wait, there's a resource that's missing. Or the nurse might go, hey, I'm not sure how to address this, so let me go learn about it so I can do better next time with somebody.
When you say talk about it, is there a specific, like, avenue you would recommend someone go through? You talked about the idea that there are chronic pain places out there, specialists out there, there are sexual health clinics out there, you know, maybe there's like your family doctor or the walk-in clinic's GP. What do you think about even who to go to with concerns?
Yeah, that's a gap that I've noticed so far, because like I mentioned earlier, chronic pain clinics, that would be ideal if somebody's accessing a program through a chronic pain center. But what we find is, especially for younger people or males, there isn't really resources for people around sex and sexuality. It's kind of like, oh, you have a disability, you have chronic pain, we just assume you don't have sex, which is not the case. Or it's very focused on, like I mentioned, localized pain with sex. And then again, the gap with sexual health clinics is that they're very harm reduction focused, which is great, but doesn't necessarily address the sexuality identity piece. So I would say start with a family doctor or maybe a sexual health clinic, and they can probably refer you depending on your issue, because maybe a pelvic health physiotherapist is what somebody would need, or maybe they need a sex therapist. So I would say, yeah, start with like a family doctor or a sexual health clinic or the chronic pain clinics, and they can probably refer from there.
Are you still actively recruiting people to take part in your research and share their stories?
I am. However, I'm Calgary-based right now, so I'm open to virtual participation, but preferring in-person right now. I'm hoping that when I finish my PhD research, I'll be able to do bigger studies and I can really engage more with this kind of work and recruit BC, Alberta, have a lot more to do. Yeah.
Well, how does someone sign up?
Yeah, they can email me. So either through my website, like you contacted me, Joe, or my email, which is, I guess we're on the radio. So JaniceFinlay@uvic.ca. But if you look up my name, you can find my website and also contact me there.
And when are you expecting to wrap this all up?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully my PhD doesn't go on for forever, because graduate school is difficult. I think every PhD student is like, I just want this to be over, even though I love what I'm doing. So I'm hoping that all the data collection will happen over the next 6 months, and then I'll continue to write my up my thesis, and then be finished my PhD in about a year. Yeah.
So this research is around chronic pain and intimacy. You've talked off the hop and throughout our conversation about how it's just difficult. There's a bit of a taboo still really around talking about sex. When it comes to the chronic pain piece, we've kind of just used the word chronic pain a lot. Is there anything you think people need to know specifically about like what that means? What are some of the various ways that can look? What do you think is important people understand when they hear us talking about chronic pain?
So 1 in 5 Canadians live with chronic pain. That's the statistic that we know. I think a lot of people live with chronic pain and don't realize it or maybe don't accept it. So the way I describe it to my nursing students around my research is we have two topics that are stigmatized. We have sex and sexuality, and then we have chronic pain and disability. When you put them together, that's like extra stigmatized because nobody wants to be disabled or accept that that's a thing. But chronic pain can be really disabling and it looks different in everybody. So that would be kind of my message is a lot of people live with chronic pain and mask it, and you might not know that it's affecting them, but it's actually a lot more common than I think we recognize in Canada. Yeah.
So people who work in the healthcare system, presumably your research is going to be super relevant to them. People who are experiencing chronic pain, your research obviously going to be super relevant to them. What would you say to people who aren't in either of those two groups right now about what they should know about this issue, how they should kind of move through the world differently as a consequence of having an awareness of that?
I would say be curious. What we know from my work and research and the literature is that people that live with chronic pain and disabilities are very frequently dismissed. And so I think understand that it can fluctuate. So there's different types of disabilities, right? But sometimes an invisible disability is the most dismissed type. Because it's like one day you can look like you're doing okay, and then the next day the person is in a pain flare up and can't even function. So be curious, be understanding, be compassionate. And I think being curious is the most important thing when you're trying to learn something, like learn about a group that you don't know anything about.
Is there anything else you think it's important to bring to the conversation on this today?
Yeah, I want people to be talking about sex. Like, just talk about it.
How do you do that?
It takes time. I have to think, I have to remember, I've been working in this field for over 10 years. And so it's very easy for me. And I get a rise out of intentionally asking my doctors and my healthcare providers with my disability about things because I just want to see their reaction and see how they handle it. So get comfortable talking about it. You just start somewhere, however you can, and it gets easier. And then you're like, oh, this isn't such a big deal to talk about. It's not actually, it doesn't need to be stigmatized.
Well, Janace Finley, thank you very much for talking to me about it today.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity.
Janace Finley is a PhD student at the University of Victoria, researching how people experience and navigate chronic pain, disability, and sexuality.
People First Radio, People First Media, and People First Stories are community media projects of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society and are produced in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed do not necessarily represent the views of Vancouver Island Mental Health Society or its broadcast, podcast, and social media partners.